I good now? Praise God. I love the new year. I love just new changes. In the Bible it says His mercies are new every morning. I thought to myself, what would happen if each one of us took out our little prayer sheet and wrote on there maybe a goal for this year? You think about it, you know. Lord, in 2019, I would like to. Or my goal for 2019 is. Or I want to pledge to you today, Lord, I'd like to do this for you in 2019. Or maybe there's a special prayer you're looking for this year. Do it. I mean, it's an awesome thing to do, to set something for yourself. Maybe you want to read through the Bible, the whole Bible in 2019. There's some Bible reading plans back there on the table if you need one there. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for just this morning. Thank you for new beginnings, Lord. I get excited every year about January 1st, Lord. And it's a way that we can just start afresh, you know, and make goals for ourselves, make pledges, telling you, Father, I want to grow closer to you this year, Lord. Father, I want to be a better servant for you this year, Lord. I want to reach more people for you. I want to share the gospel with more people this year, Lord. I want my friends around me, my family, and my neighbors to know you and know what it means to have a relationship with you, Father. And I ask you to bless this message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Praise God. Santa was good this year on my desk today with 6 brand new VHS tapes, still sealed, to be able to use for me in 2019. Isn't that fantastic? Anybody know what VHS is? Praise God. Whew. I love the songs you picked out, Rachel, today. I wanted to talk about, there's a guy in Luke chapter 2. It's really the only place in the Bible where they talk about Simeon. They have in the Bible there, and he was told that he would see Jesus before he died. Today, I really want to examine hey, John Hall, how you doing? Today, I want to examine the variety of reasons why people in Jesus' adult life search for him. Because if you think about it, why are we here today? Why do we search for Jesus? Why do we want to long to be closer to him and to grow to him? Because we all want to see him. But why? Why do we want more than him? Is our motivation pure, or does it need some adjustment for 2019? Simeon knew by the Spirit's revelation that he would see Israel's Messiah before he died. Look at Luke 2, 25 through 26. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, the Bible records. And it was been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Isn't it beautiful? Maybe some questions for us this morning if you're thinking about Simeon and thinking about his life. Was this like a prayer request that Simeon had? You know, I want to see the baby Jesus before I die. Or was it God's gracious gift to an old man that had a good character about him? How long did he have to wait before he saw the promise? Did Simeon search every face that he saw to see if it was the Messiah's eyes looking back at him? When you read the scriptures, the Bible really doesn't give us an answer for that, but it tells us that Simeon's quest came to a completion one day as he excitingly held a week-old baby Jesus. The one Israel in general and Jesus in particular was sought after was now present, laying in his arms. He peacefully accepted whatever came next. And I thought to myself, many people sought Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. Just reading through the Gospels and thinking about the time when the men came to Philip requesting to see Jesus. You see in John 12:21, so these came to Philip who was from Bethsaida in Galilee and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So I don't think, as I read through the Gospels, that they had the same motivation that Simeon had. I think people today still seek him, and they do so for a variety of reasons. There might be a lot of different reasons why you seek the Lord in your life. And I really want to give you five of them today. Three, I think, are selfish reasons. Two, I think, are heartfelt. One is because they believe Jesus will make their life easy. John 6:26 says, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves," Jesus said. Jesus performed a miracle that day, filled the bellies of over 5,000 people. And the next day, the scriptures record that these same people worked diligently in crossing a dangerous lake to find Jesus. But instead of being impressed with their faith and rewarding their efforts, Jesus identified and condemned their motivation. He felt like they just wanted an endless supply of food. They thought following Jesus will grant them an easy, problem-free life. Anybody have one of those lies? Easy, problem-free? I don't think so. Because Jesus never advertised a cushy existence. He warned those who would listen that life would be increasingly difficult if they would follow him. Matthew 24:9 says, "Then he delivered you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." And I'm thinking about being truly a child of God, being a believer, being a Christian. There's going to be sacrifice involved in your life. There's going to be humiliation involved in your life. There's going to be betrayal. There's going to be abandonment. These are what Jesus promised his followers. Many walked away from him. If you want to write John 6:66, I always remember that because of 666. Look at John 6:66 today later on. Because you'll read that many of his disciples stopped following him. They couldn't take the sacrifice. They couldn't take the betrayal. They couldn't take the abandonment. Many walked away. Those who chose to stay offered this reason for doing so. Jesus gives eternal life. Jesus gives eternal life. So do you want an easy life or do you want an eternal one? Your answer will determine who you seek and why. Point number two, because they wanted Jesus to heal them. They wanted a physical healing. That's why they followed Jesus. Matthew 4:24, "So his fame spread throughout all Syria and they brought him all the sick," it said. Those afflicted with various diseases and pains and those obsessed by demons, having seizures, paralytics, and he healed them. And I'm thinking through the Gospels, you know, you see this Matthew 4:24, they brought all unto him, all the sick people. In Mark 2, four men tore through a roof to get their friend to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, a contaminated woman pushed her way through the crowd for a chance to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. In Luke chapter 7, it says a brazen, uninvited sinner came to dinner at Simon's house and wept over them, wept over Jesus. Most of them came for the same reason, healing. They wanted to be healed. And each of them, along with many others that Jesus encountered, received what they sought. Jesus could heal. Jesus came to heal. I don't think he ever promised that. Are you here today seeking a healing? If your ailment is physical, Jesus might not grant the healing you seek. We've had a family come here, you know, about a month ago. Steve Magnus, Regina and I know him. Tom and Donna know him. He served over at the other church. He's dying right now. He's in hospice. He has brain cancer. And yet we pray for his healing. But what's the most important thing? He's ready to meet Jesus. He's ready to go home with him. He's more concerned about his family being in the Lord's family. He's more concerned about his family being faithful and attending church and growing in their relationship with him. And then I thought about Paul in 2 Corinthians. He said this, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this." that it should leave me, Paul said. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I'm telling you, if we walked in that place where Steve is right now, we would see the power of God in his eyes. I saw it. I visited him 2 weeks ago. I saw the love of Jesus in his eyes. I saw maybe a fear because he knows he's going to leave his family here and he wants to make sure they're serving the Lord. Verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 12 says, for the sake of Christ, then I'm content with my weaknesses. I'm content with my insults, my hardships, my persecutions, my calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In your life, you're going to go through times of suffering and hardships. And I'm sure everyone sitting in here could walk up to this pulpit right now and share a time where you had a hardship in your life. Maybe you lost someone. Maybe you lost some babies. Maybe, you know, things didn't go well. But God allows those things to happen to us because he loves us. He wants us to yearn for him. He wants us to have a desire to grow for him. This life is not going to be easy. But I'm going to tell you something. We're going to feel his presence. We're going to feel his peace. Paul wrote in Romans, you know, we also glory in our tribulations because when we glory in tribulations, when we go through maybe what John Hall is going through right now, we still find a way to glory him. And the Bible tells us when we glory him, we'll gain perseverance, and through perseverance, we'll gain proven character, and through proven character, we'll gain hope. So we don't know why the Lord allows tough things for us to go through, but we know that through them, we're going to gain perseverance to proceed on. We're going to gain proven character. We're going to gain hope. I don't think Jesus would ever refuse someone whose weakness is spiritual or emotional, because he said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Seek Jesus and he will heal your wounded heart. Number three, because they fear Jesus' influence their lives. I really see that today. Matthew 27:18, for he knew that it was out of envy that they delivered him up. So you think about that, it kind of sounds contradictory. Seeking Jesus because you fear him? Who would do that? The Pharisees did. Reading through the Gospels, I feel like they didn't fear what Jesus would do to them. They should have. No, the Pharisees feared the effect Jesus' actions were having on their community. The more people that followed Jesus, the less people listened to the religious leaders. So they sought Jesus to rid the world of his teaching. And there are people still seek Jesus to destroy him. I thought to myself, if you browse the internet for information about Jesus and Christianity, much of it might be inaccurate. Some will be positive, some will be useful, but you'll also find brutal attacks on Jesus and his teaching. Why would people diligently search for the problems in the scriptures? Why would they write so adamantly about deficiencies with God and the faith that Jesus taught? And I think to myself, not in all cases, but for some, it's because they're running from the change Jesus wants to bring in their lives. People attack what they fear. They, like the power structure of Jesus' day, are satisfied with the status quo. Jesus brings radical change. And I thought to myself, could that be a reason why people go from church to church or aren't faithful? Because they don't want to change the way they live. They don't want to live the way Jesus calls us to live in his scriptures. They just want the easy life. They just want to be healed of every disease. They don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to be faithful. Is the reason you attack Jesus, his church, and his teaching because you fear the influence Jesus wants to have in your life? Give in. And the change Jesus brings is good. Number four, because they need Jesus to save them. To me, these last two are the reasons why we just long to know him and long for his presence to be adamant in our life. Luke 24:21 says, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things are happened. And this is from Luke chapter 24, verse 12. You see, it's a road to Emmaus, and these two disheartened disciples encountered a talkative stranger on the road. It was Jesus. They didn't know it. But you think about it, and you read that chapter 24 of Luke, maybe their step when they were walking, or their countenance revealed the depth of their sorrow. Jesus asked them why they were so sad, and they spoke of Jesus and how they had hoped he would save Israel. And unstated, but nonetheless real, was their even deeper despair over their still present need for a personal Savior as they walked on the road to Emmaus. The stranger to them, who was Jesus, opened the scriptures to them. He explained how they had all that they had recently happened and was part of God's plan to redeem Israel and them. And by the time they got to their destination, their sorrow had morphed into excitement. And the stranger was gone, but before they knew, their hope was not in vain. And you're listening, God, I put Jesus saves. His death on a hill in Jerusalem didn't destroy hope. It's what hope is founded on. Hope for the world, hope for me, hope for you. Are you looking for Jesus today? And why? Is it because you think you have the easy life? There are many churches out there promoting health, wealth, and prosperity. That the more faith you have in Jesus, the more you will have. I don't really believe that teaching. Are you looking for an easy life? Are you looking for just a physical healing and not a heart change? Do you go to church, but you really don't want to change the way you live because you like the status quo? You like what the world's teaching you? Or do you want Jesus to save you? The last point, because they anticipated Jesus' kingdom. Paul wrote to his protege Titus, said, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. When you think about Simeon, he held Jesus as a baby. The adult Jesus taught the masses. The victorious Jesus who emptied the grave. The homeward bound Jesus who rose as his disciples gazed in unbelief in the beginning of Acts. That Jesus was coming again. Jesus promised it. And as I shared on the Christmas Eve message, so did the angels and the biblical writers. When it comes this time, when he comes back this time, he won't be a baby. He won't be beaten or bloody. He will be a king. Simeon got it. Death was once the end we all faced. We feared it. It was so final, so alien, but no longer. To embrace Jesus takes all the fear that death once held and crushed it. Jesus is at the end. And it's going to happen either because of the rising of heaven or because of his return to earth. We will be with him forever, never to face separation again. I wanted to read to you the prophecy that Simeon shared that day. Praise God. It's here somewhere in my notes. Luke 2, 27 through 35. This is what Simeon said when that baby was in his arms. In verse 27, it said, he came in the spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples in a light of the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. And it says in verse 33 that his father and his mother marveled is what was said about baby Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed them. And said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. That's still going on today. The sword is still going today. The opposing is still going today. The thoughts of many hearts are being revealed today. And you see all that. So in closing, I want to tell you, people in the past sought Jesus for a variety of reasons, and people today still do. But for those who have him as Savior and Lord, we do two things now. I saw a pastor write this, and I loved it. We search the scriptures to learn of Jesus and deepen our love for him. That's what we do while we're waiting to be called home. We search the skies for the reunion that day is drawing closer with each X put on the calendar. Search the scriptures in the skies. Jesus is coming again. Romans 13 tells us this. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than now when we first believe. It's a promise from God's word. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The armor of light. People today still seek him, and they do so for a variety of reasons. And as you meet people and talk with them, you'll see that. Because they believe Jesus will make life easy, because they want Jesus to heal them, because they fear Jesus' influence on their life, because they need Jesus to save them, because they anticipate Jesus' kingdom. Did you see the front of your listening guide today? I put that statement on someone the Lord brought home this year, Billy Graham. When we come to the end of ourselves, we come to the beginning of God. Think about it. What's your goal? This might be the last year God has you on this earth. Think about it. If it was 2019 and if this was your last year to live here, how do you want to live it? Do you want to live in serving others, reaching out to others, helping the lost, helping the weak? Yes, that's what he calls us to do. Because the Bible says, if you do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And that's the way we're supposed to live our lives. Ushers, if you want to come forward while I'm tripping over these VHS tapes. I've been doing a lot of crying this week, man. There's something about Christmas. There's something about, I mean, how many people saw that When Called to Heart Christmas special? Oh, my God. I was bawling during it. And then we were in Home Goods, and this man was buying this little pink car for his baby. I started crying. He walking out with a beautiful pink car, and I thought, powerful. Kids make Christmas beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Father, thank you for your word today, Lord. Help us to think about, why do we seek after Jesus? Why do we want to be one of his child? We're going to go through tough times. Paul said it in Acts, you must go through many tribulations before you enter into rest with him, Father. So I give you the glory for your message today. I thank you for the praise team today. I thank you. This is our last offering of the year, Father. I thank you to everyone here who gives for this ministry here, Father. Our goal for 2019 is to grow. Our goal is to disciple people. Our goal is to go outside these walls. And Father, I think about this sheet that Elizabeth and I put together in your listening guide, showing all the things we did this year to try to reach this community. Father, I pray that we read through them. Father, I pray that each one of us say, I want to be a part of that next year. I want to make a difference. I want to invite my neighbors. I want to invite my work associates. I want to invite my spouse to come here. I want to make a difference for you this time, Jesus. And I want to stand before you one day and give an account on, what did I do with the gospel that you gave us? What did I do with the mercy you gave us and the being able to be born again and knowing you as our personal Savior, Father? Did I share that with others? Did I live it before others? And Father, I pray at the close of this year, and I pray for 2019 for everyone that's here, Father. And I pray for the healing of our hearts. if we would have a desire to know you more. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.